time for the North Shore Sports Desk on MSO News Sports. We bring you the latest in high school sports news from all across the North Shore. The Sports Desk is produced by Kelly Media and brought to you by Moynihan Lumber, the K-Band Savings Bank, Cranny Self Storage in Danvers, the Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. And Sun and Air, the North Shore's premier golf practice facility. And now your host, Dom Nicastro.
North Shore Sports Desk, Dom Nicastro here, back at it for another week. Late July it is. Man, we are like a month and a half, maybe like 6 weeks away from the first football game. Unreal. Unreal that we're back at it that fast. But still the summer. And the summer usually means things like Little League Baseball. And that's where we're going for our super performance.
Great shot, kid. That was one in a million.
Time for the Super Sub Super Performance of the Week.
That's right. Super Sub Shop Super Performance of the Week. We are heading back to the Little League Diamond once again for the efforts of the three North Shore teams that competed in the sections. Sweet 16, our little northeast corner here in Massachusetts section. The North Shore teams, Beverly, Danvers Nationals, Swampscott, competed with so much passion. They played such great baseball. I'm going to hear about it from Danvers Nats manager Stan Gesualdi a little later in the show. That was what a tournament at Harry Ball Field last weekend, or last week into the weekend. The darn non-North Shore team won it, though. Acton Boxborough came out of it by beating Danvers Nationals in the finals. We'll hear about that game. But we'll also hear about the games leading up to it. And everyone had a chance to make the finals on that last day, day three. Well, the second to last day, really. Last day of the pool play, round robin, whatever you want to call it. And it was Swampscott versus Danvers Nationals. Danvers Nationals takes that. And then it was Acton Boxborough versus Beverly. Acton Boxborough takes that, setting up the finals between Danvers National and Acton Boxborough. And Acton Boxborough takes it 5-0. You know, deceiving, because that was a good game for a while, and then Acton Boxborough breaks out with a 3-run homer. But man, oh man, was there good baseball. Right down the street from 324 Cabbage Street in Beverly, Super Sub, supersubbev.com, great food, fast service. It's 1970, Paul Guanci and the gang. Hey, before you know it, we'll be back at Super Sub, right? Talking to the captains of the fall sports teams right around Thanksgiving weekend, I think we usually go. So great job, young ones. Bright futures ahead for those three programs, Beverly, Danvers Nationals, Swampscott. Swampscott back-to-back District 16 champs. Danvers makes the Elite Eight by making the finals of the sections, but Acton Boxborough moves on to the Final Four. Good luck to AB. Coming into the North Shore and taking it. You know, they were 3-1. 3-1 overall. Danvers finishes 2-2, and Beverly and Swampscott 1-2 apiece. So they all beat up on each other, you know? It was really even competition, great baseball, and cool stuff. Talk about that a little more later. But let's go to a break. I should have given the number for Super Sub if you want to call ahead. It opens 7 days a week. 978-927-4788 for Super Sub on 324 Cabot Street in Beverly. So let's take a break and catch up with a former great little leaguer, now current pitcher, all-star for the North Shore Navigators. He played at Hamilton Wyndham, Northeastern, and now this lefty powerhouse pitcher, Will Jones. He'll be up after the break.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self-Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self-Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self-Storage today at 978-777-9193.
All the appetizers to get your taste buds going, like sliders, quesadillas, wraps and burgers, specialties like tropical grilled salmon, fajitas, turkey tips, steaks, ribs, pasta, seafood, kids' meals. And did we mention 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games? There's going out and then there's Sylvan Street Grill, the best place to go on the North Shore in Peabody and Salisbury.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
North Shore Sports Desk, Dominic Castro here. We are with our opening guest today, going to be Will Jones, Hamilton Wyndham former standout, current Northeastern University standout, and current North Shore Navigators all-star pitcher. Just had the all-star game the other day. Will, how's it going?
It's going very well. Thank you for having me on here.
Yeah, absolutely. So year two with the Navs?
Yep. So I played for them last summer and had so much fun, I had to come back for another run.
Yeah, exactly. So tell me about your role out of the on the hill, you know, last summer, 2023 versus this summer for the Navs.
Yeah, so last summer I started coming out of the bullpen. I kind of had an extended role out of the bullpen early last year, but I had a couple good outings and there was an opportunity for a spot start and Coach Matt gave it to me and I threw pretty well. So he wanted me to continue to start moving forward and we kind of never looked back from there. It was a great opportunity and I preferred it. And I think my stuff was better as a starter. So I continued to do that. And then when I came in this year, he had the same plan for me. He wanted me to continue to start and I had no complaints on that end. So it ended up being a perfect situation for me.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, over 29 and two thirds, you had an 0.91 ERA. Something's going right out there.
Yes, definitely. I've had a good summer so far. I mean, the defense has played great. My catchers have been great. So I have no complaints on that end. They've definitely helped me out a ton as well.
Yeah. So what's the difference between, like, tell me about your role on the hill at Northeastern versus here? Is it different angles?
Yes. So at Northeastern, I was out of the bullpen. I did extend often. I think I ended this year with around 40 innings. And I would usually come in for anywhere from 2 to 5 innings, depending upon the week or the situation. But oftentimes I would treat that similar to a start, knowing that I had the chance to extend, really gave myself, wasn't too worried about the immediate result and kind of let myself settle in and just have the confidence in my stuff and know that I'll be in there for a little while. I have time to make my pitches and not be too worried about just going in there and gassing out in the first inning.
Yeah, exactly. So what's the repertoire right now? Like what's working? What's the out pitch? Because, you know, the last stat I got also was 29 Ks and 3 yep. walks. So are you just like going at people and no concern and just like, hey, see what you can do with this one?
Yes, exactly. So right now I throw a fastball, a curveball, a slider, and a changeup. My out pitch is definitely my slider. I'm probably close to 35% slider, 35% curveball. And then the left, whatever's left between fastball and changeup.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's really my mindset, just attacking guys. I know my stuff's good. And my whole mindset out there is I need them to beat me. I can't beat myself. So I'm attack them. My goal is to get ahead of every guy and fill it up. So from it, getting ahead early in the counts, I'm able to kind of do what I want. I can mix my pitches well. I'm able to land all four of my pitches at a really high rate for a strike. I led Division I this year in strike percentage, which was really cool.
Yeah.
So I'm able to land all my pitches at a super, I think I ended around like 75% or something. So I know I'm always able to land the pitches I need to pretty much whenever I want to. So It allows me just to attack very with a lot of confidence and know that no matter what the count is, I can always battle back an account. I can pick corners well. So that's just been a big mindset for me, is just knowing that, hey, if I'm going against a guy, I'm not going to give up a free base. If you want to get on base, you're going to have to earn it. So
yeah. Yeah. Where's that fastball living, miles per hour wise, like average?
So it fluctuates pretty heavily depending upon the day, but anywhere from 86 to 88 is what I would say.
Yeah.
Topping around 89 on the best days, but it depends on the day.
Yeah. And you, do you feel like with your ability to just paint corners and everything, like the fastball doesn't have to be like, you know, 93, 95, because you're able to just mix in your off-speed stuff with like pinpoint location?
Absolutely. I think that is a huge benefit for me. I mean, a lot of guys are fastball first. For me, I'm off-speed first. So I've heard a lot of times from hitters that I've faced, or even my catchers, saying that, well, maybe my fastball isn't the hardest, but it plays up. I'm tall, I'm lanky, so I'm releasing a little bit closer to the plate as well. So my 86 to 88 feels, gets on you like it's 91, 92. They're also not sitting fastball, so it's like I'm able to get that in on guys and get it past guys. So it's still super effective, and it's a good pitch, but maybe it's not as flashy as some of these other guys, but it still gets the job done, and it's very effective.
Yeah. Well, talk about the Husky season. I know we're in the throes of the Navs wrapping things up and everything, trying to get a playoff berth, but let's go backwards a little bit. You know, take me to the spring season with the Huskies and some individual and team highlights there.
Yeah, so this was a big year for me. Last year, I ended the season with 7 innings and never really had a really big role on the team. But after my NAV season last year, last summer, I was coming in and looking to have like a bigger role and a more established role. So I had a good winter leading up. And then when the spring came, I think a big highlight for me was the first weekend we played against Arizona at University of Arizona at Arizona. And on Friday night, I ended up going five scoreless innings, I think with one or two hits, which was great. And it really just set the tone for my year. We ended up sadly losing that series. But then the following week, we went to Florida and won two of two from Minnesota. And that really got us going in the right direction.
Yeah,
we had a great year. We lost. We won a ton of big games, won a ton of big series. And it was a lot of fun along the way. We won most of our CAA competitions, but for us, our shortcoming just came in the CAA tournament. We ended up going 0-2, and it was definitely a quick exit for us that we weren't expecting, but sometimes that happens. It just doesn't always go your way.
We didn't mention the big rivalry on Northeastern schedule, the Boston Red Sox. How did that end up going? Did you get involved in that?
I didn't. I didn't this year. I pitched against them last year, which was a lot of fun. It's always a great game. It's always really cool.
Who'd you face?
I sadly didn't get to face anyone too memorable. I don't actually
minor league guys.
Yeah, it was a lot of minor league guys, but often the first couple innings, a lot of the starters come in, face some of the pitchers, but then they start to work in the minor league guys later on. But it's a really cool experience. Get to hang out with the guys, get to watch them take BP. So it's really cool. I remember we got to talk with Tristan Casas a little bit, which was cool, seeing what he's doing right now. So that was definitely a really cool experience.
Yeah. Well, here you are back at year two, second summer with the Navs and right on the North Shore. So it's a, you know, right at home for you, right? Fraser Field is the home stadium. And what's up next for the Navs? I know it's like winding down. You guys are battling for that playoff spot.
Yeah. So we have about a week and a half left. And a lot of stuff has to go our way for us to make it to the playoffs, but we're looking to make a run. We've been playing well. We've been in a lot of close games. I know we're away tomorrow, but we got doubleheader on Wednesday and we're home again on Thursday. Those were all must-win games for us to have a chance. And we're just going to look at, take it day by day, win it one game at a time, and hopefully get a chance to get after it at the playoffs.
Yeah, and that NECBL All-Star Game, New England Collegiate Baseball League, which where the Navs play, that All-Star Game happened this past Sunday. So take me there. What went down? How did you get any action?
Yeah, so I was the starting pitcher for my side, which was really cool. That was definitely a pretty cool experience. Every pitcher only gets to go one inning. So it's pretty cool. I went one inning. I let up one hit. And a couple of flares and a ground out. So it was good. I felt good on the mound. It was definitely a cool experience. There's a lot of scouts there, a lot of people. So it was definitely something that I'll remember. And it was fun. It's always fun to hang out with guys from different teams. You know, you hear different stories. You get to hear about their games, their teams, stuff like that. So it's always a great experience. You meet a lot of different, a lot of new people. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, so first inning, or only one inning, was that like a 1999 Pedro Martinez where you were just all out? Did you air it out, or you kind of stayed composed?
I definitely stayed composed. I think that's more my game. I think when I gas, that was probably when I run into a little bit of trouble. For me, I was just staying simple, just keeping it pretty light. Threw a good amount of, mixed it really well, just mainly focused just on pounding the zone, throwing a lot of strikes and making them beat me. And I was really happy with my outing. Would have liked to get a strikeout in there, but it's what it is.
Yeah. All right. And then the Navs, like, you know, when that finishes up, then you got like probably fall ball, I'm assuming, at Northeast. Does that start pretty soon?
Yeah. So we head back to school in early September. So we have a little bit of time in between the end of the season and that. And that time is just really for everybody's a little bit, does their stuff a little bit differently. For me, it'll just be making sure I'm staying on top of my throwing, getting myself ready, like physically getting in the weight room just to make sure when I head to campus in the fall, be ready to hit the ground running and continue to dominate.
Yeah. What's fall ball like there? What's the balance between workouts and like intra-squad scrimmages?
Yeah. So the squad scrimmages are typically on the weekends. So it really depends year to year, depending upon how many people are throwing. Usually not everyone's throwing, but I know Coach Glavin has a goal for everyone to throw this fall. So it's going to look a little bit different than past years, but it's usually on Saturday or Sunday. We'll pick a day and we'll pick two separate teams and we'll do inter squads. And then I know we have three games lined up. In years past, it was Dartmouth, the Canadian national team, I think, for the 18U. And then I believe we might get Harvard this year is what I heard. Nothing's confirmed, but that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah. I'm looking through the roster here, just digging for other North Shore kids. And I see, was it Avon Cabral? He was a standout at St. Mary's. Is he on the roster still?
For Northeastern?
For Northeastern, yes.
Yes. So he actually grew up in Lynn, went to St. Mary's Lynn in high school. Yeah. And yeah, so he's been great for us. He just made the all-star team in the Cape, playing for YD down on the Cape. So that's great. I'm really happy for him. That's great. And then I have two of my teammates, Brett Dunham and Ryan Griffin, are on my Navs team with me from Northeastern. So they're all throwing well. So it's really a great time for us.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think I see a Peabody kid too on the on Northeastern. That would be
Tyler McGregor.
Yeah.
So he actually just finished his last year. Okay. But he was great. He was one of the best hitters I've ever been around. So he was really impressive to watch on a day to day.
Cooper McGrath, South Hamilton.
Yep. Hingry. I grew up playing with Coop. I've played with him since I was 10 years old. We played Little League together growing up. And then he went to Trinity for his undergrad. And then he played for the Navs coming into last year with me. And then he came to Northeastern. And now he's coming back for his final year with me. So pretty cool. We grew up playing together. And now we're going to finish together. So that really is pretty special.
Cooper's a big boy there, 6'7".
Yep, and he looks every bit of it. You can tell. Yeah,
absolutely. So he's a right-handed pitcher like you, right?
No, I'm a lefty.
Oh, you're a lefty. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So, geez, that makes you even more nasty, throwing that that slider in 88, and you just must be a tough competitor out there, man, to get up to. Do you have, like, not specific, but I'm assuming the lefties have a little more trouble than the righties with you, or maybe I'm wrong. Like what?
No, absolutely. I pride myself on my ability to get lefties out. I think that is a huge, something big for me. I like to think with my slider, I'm a tough at bat for lefties. I hear it often from, the guys I face, whether it's in their squads or, people I face in, during the summer, but
yeah,
that's definitely a big focus of mine is making sure I get my lefties out. Cause I know I have a little bit of an advantage on that end.
Yeah. I played in the late 90s at Salem State. I hated lefties and changeups. Like I found it really hard to pick up. You know?
Absolutely. You're not alone.
You throw a changeup too?
I do throw a changeup. It's definitely a work in progress, but I've seen a lot of improvement over the summer. I didn't throw it a lot in the spring, but it's something that I've been working on and refining every day. And it's been a great out pitch for me this summer, which has been a great addition, especially against righties.
Yeah. Well, lastly, Will Jones, Hamilton Wyndham standout, Northeastern, Navs. What does 2025 Northeastern baseball look like for you? Where are you going to, where you feel like you're going to have success for the Huskies?
Well, I'm hoping to just have a lot of success pitching for them. I don't know where that's going to be quite yet, whether I'm going to be a starter or coming out of the bullpen, but I hope to get a ton of work and have a chance to really just show what I can do.
Yeah, one of the leaders too, right? The elder statesman.
Yep, absolutely. I'll be one of the older guys, so it'll be a great opportunity to lead and be a good role model for the younger guys.
What kind of fun activities can the freshmen expect from the Northeastern crew coming in? Like, you know, one you can share on the air anyway.
Well, I'll just tell them that there's going to be a lot of workouts. That'll be all that they really want to know. You know, make sure you come in shape and ready to hit the ground running.
Shagging the foul balls.
Of course, yeah. Lots of BP.
Yeah. Sometimes lots you have of running. A stand. I mean, I'm sure Avon Cabral made an impact as a freshman right away, right? Like, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There's some freshmen where you want to make them carry the bags and everything, but they're also really, like, good players.
Absolutely. I mean, got to look past that. I think everyone has their role. Everyone has a job to do. No one's exempt from carrying the bags or picking up the ball. So yeah. Everyone helps out. So it's a big thing. It doesn't really matter how good you are, what your role is. You know, everyone has to hop on bucket every now and then. Everyone has to carry the bag. So
yeah,
it's definitely a good experience. I mean, Northeastern doesn't have any captains, which is by design. And it helps make sure everyone's on a level playing field and everyone kind of takes care of their own business. So it's good.
Oh, I like it. I love it. All right, Will Jones, thanks for joining us for the North Shore Sports Desk. Wish you the best of luck down the stretch of the NAV season. And then when Northeastern starts again, we'll hit you up, have another conversation. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right, thanks for joining us. Have a good one, buddy.
Yes, of course. Thank you. All
right, bye.
I'm Mary Ann Smith, president of the Cape Ann Savings Bank. We are proud to sponsor the Cape Ann Savings Bank Student Athlete of the Year. Whether it's football, field hockey, tennis, soccer, or any other sport, when a student athlete strives for excellence, it inspires the whole community. The team at Cape Ann Savings Bank in Gloucester, Rockport, and Manchester-by-the-Sea always give their best, and we're happy to honor the student athletes and good sports who do too.
Cape Ann Savings Bank, member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self-Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self-Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self-Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self-Storage today at 978-777-9193.
This is Bob Montgomery, and when hunger calls, North Shore residents must pay a visit to the New Brothers Deli in downtown Danvers. They're open daily for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. They have everything from eggs to meat to fish, and it's all made from scratch with the finest fresh ingredients. New Brothers Deli has specials that are sure to fill you up and satisfy. Teddy and Carrie invite you to visit the New Brothers Restaurant and Deli at 31 Maple Street in the middle of downtown Danvers. Call 978-750-0100 for more information.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning on remodeling your kitchen or just thinking about it, may I suggest that you visit our kitchen cabinet showroom in downtown Beverly. There you will find some 25 kitchens on display, just as they might look in your own home. And you can also talk with our kitchen cabinet sales team, who really do know what they are talking about. That's at Moynihan Lumber, 82 River Street in downtown Beverly.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
North Shore Sports Desk back at it with our next guest, and it's going to be a repeat guest from last week. The last North Shore surviving team in the sectionals fell just shy. Danvers Nationals Little League All-Star coach Dan Gesualdi. What's going on, coach?
Hi, Dom. I appreciate you having me back on again. It's great to talk to you. Yeah. So how much sleep have you gotten in the last couple of days?
Well, not much. Not much after the last game, but I'm good now. Everything's, we're all rested. We had a little team breakup party, so everything's good.
Oh, that's wonderful. I mean, you guys battled to the very end. 5-0 loss to Acton Boxborough, who ended up winning. And they move on to the Final Four of the Massachusetts Little League Tournament Championship. And, you know, good luck to them. But what a bunch of amazing baseball that was on display last week at Harry Ball Field in this section. Danvers Nats, Beverly, Swampscott, and Acton Boxborough. I mean, Stan, coming out of that, just give me your whole take on the quality of baseball that was played. These were low scoring, high intense, extra inning games. There was just so much excitement.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, none of the games that any of the teams played were blowouts. They were all very close games, could have gone either way. I mean, we got there, but we could have also, as easily gotten beat by Beverly, and Swampscott really had us on the ropes. So, very fortunate I got there. All the teams were fairly equal. Acton Boxwell maybe had a slight edge, but their big edge was having only 10 players. So that's what really, I think, really helped them. But the teams were pretty equal overall.
Yeah, and Stan, we talked about the pitching and how to handle it, you know, 3 games in 3 days, and then ended up being 4 games in 4 days for you guys in Acton Boxborough. And it doesn't help when you have to play a 10-inning semifinal game, which you did against Swampscott. That must have been crazy.
Oh, man, what a game that was. I didn't think we were going to come out of that. I mean, Swampscott had the bases loaded, no outs in, what, the eighth inning. And somehow we I don't know how our third baseman Carlson came in and shut the door. He just came in with the bases loaded. Our other pitcher cramped up a little bit. So we made a pitching change. And what a job he did for us. And then Swampscott got, second and third the following inning, and we were fortunate to get out of that. So they actually had more scoring opportunities than we had.
Wow.
And then, of course, Kenny Blake hit that 2-run homer in the 10th. And, that was huge.
Yeah. So that was so Swampscott could have walked off.
They could have walked off in two innings, the 8th and the 9th. They did score one in the 10th, and they had second and third, two outs, and we got a strike. They certainly had opportunities.
Yeah, bases loaded, second and third, and your defense gets out of it. Do you remember, like, break down that bases loaded jam? Because that, when that happens, bases loaded, no outs, you're like, great tournament, guys. You know, it's like the math just tells you, okay, it's something's going to happen. A ground ball, and it's too deep in the infield. You can't throw to home. What happened? How'd you get out of that?
Yeah, so we made a pitching change with the bases loaded, no outs, and we brought in Carlson to pitch, and the first batter, we brought the infield in, had a car ground ball to shortstop. We got the out at the plate, and then I believe he struck out the next two batters to get us out of that inning. And then in the 9th, they had a guy on second. After the 7th inning, you start with a guy on second, and they hit a base hit up the middle. Zane Spencer threw the kid out at the plate to allow us to get into the 10th inning. We came up with some big time plays to keep that game going.
That's where you see the separation of the regular season versus the All-Star game, right? Yeah. It's next level stuff. These kids are basically, a lot of them are almost 13. Right. They're ready to go. They'll be developing into young men, and to come up that clutch in that moment and all those defensive plays and pitches they had to make. Yeah. Wow. I mean, you're just 4 balls away from exiting the tournament, and Swampscott goes on to the finals.
That's right. And I was really happy for Ryan Carlson, because the night before to Beverly, he gave up the 2-run homer in our extra innings, and we had to come right back to him. And boy, he pitched 3 outstanding innings for us. Played a huge role.
And it was also a clean tournament in the sense that it was a true semifinal. It was like whoever wins those Friday night games is going to see each other in the Saturday final.
Right. Yes, that is true. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me about, so you guys beat Swampscott. Who'd you lose to in the first 3 games?
in the tournament, we beat Acton. Are you talking specifically about this Final Four here?
Yeah, tell me about like the run up to the Saturday.
We opened up against Acton Boxborough. That was a 1-1 game until the sixth inning. We scored five. They had to make a pitching change. We were able to score five runs, and we were able to win that game 6-2. And we really got some, we used three pitchers, Zane Spencer for the 50. So we had him for the championship game. He pitched really well. And then Cam Sillas and Jacob LeBlanc closed it out for us. So they, those were the three main guys for us, and they did a great job in that game.
Yeah.
We followed up with Beverly, and we had, we started our 11-year-old Kenny Blake. And, he got into a little, we scored four runs in the first inning, but we gave up four runs in the bottom of the first. And, we didn't feel the bunt too well. The Beverly had a couple of bunts, and we struggled with it and led to an error or two. And then they tied it up, and then they won it with a two run homer in the bottom of the, I believe it was the eighth, the bottom of the eighth.
Walk-off.
Walk-off. I give Belly all the credit in the world. I mean, they really competed and played well. They deserved it. They played better than us.
Yeah.
And then, we were all 1-1-1. So, whoever won the next game, Beverly against Acton Boxborough and us against Swampscott. And we were very fortunate to win that 10-inning extra inning game, 3-2. And, we were very happy. We were overjoyed with that, and maybe even took a little bit of a sting out, because by the time we were done, it was after 10 o'clock and we had to be up at 8 o'clock. To
10 a.m. So, game. Yeah.
Yeah. For a 10 a.m. game. So that was a little draining.
I thought that was a little unfair, actually, that they made you guys come back bright and early in the morning. I mean, there wasn't any way to postpone that, huh?
Well, they initially was at a 2 o'clock game when the schedule first came out, and then they moved it to 10 because apparently they couldn't get enough umpire. The other districts are holding their tournament, finals too, and they couldn't get enough umpires. So we had to move it till 10 o'clock, which did hurt a little bit, but that's the way it works.
Yeah, maybe even a little more strain on Acton Boxborough having to make a little bit more of a trek down for the big turn, unless they had hotels, who knows.
I don't think they got hotels. I think they drove all the way down. They play better than us. They certainly deserve to beat us. We didn't have any hits. I mean, we had two hits and didn't really do anything on the bases or anything. So we lost that game 5-0, but they were certainly the better team that day.
Yeah, credit to them. You know, they won the right game against you guys, right? You guys beat them, and then they beat you in the finals, right? That's how it worked.
That's exactly how it worked.
Yeah,
And they had their best pitcher lined up, and we had our best pitcher lined up, and it was 0-0 after three or so, and then the kid on their team hit a 3-run home, and that was really the difference in the game.
Broke it open, yeah. And then you have those games where your bats are just a little quiet, or you're hitting it right at people. Was that kind of the tail of the tape for you guys?
Yep. We like I said, we only had four hits. Our biggest threat was in the first inning. We had first and second, one out, but we had a strikeout, and we could never get it going.
Yeah.
And it would you could kind of see it, you could kind of feel, as a coach, I could kind of see that we were struggling with the bats.
Yeah. It's that feeling of it's getting late early.
Yeah.
Right. And you just know, like, oh, we're grounding out a lot. We're striking out. It's just, it adds up fast. It's contagious almost, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
Nonetheless, you guys come out of this making the Elite Eight. Think about it. You were one of eight teams left because you made the finals of your section. So eight teams left in Massachusetts versus one of four teams left in 2018. Heck of a run for Danvers Nats over the last few years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, really good run. We won the districts as 11s. We won it as the 12s. Our 11-year-old team this year won it, the districts. Mm. The 10-year-old lost in the finals of the districts. So, I mean, Danvers National Little League itself had a tremendous year. That's a good sign. It bodes well for the future.
Yeah, sure does. And how's Danvers Little League shake up right now? Is there the Nats and Americans and that's it?
Yep. Danvers Nats and Danvers Mary. Yep, they're two leagues.
Yeah, so that's cool. So there's some good hope there for the future and all these teams. Man, my goodness, what good baseball. I mean, to get out of those situations like you did against Swampscott and How many, I mean, Phil Stacey reported the Salem News, you guys played 24 innings in the first three games. You averaged an eight inning game.
Yes. Yeah. I think we played overall in the tournament, we played five extra inning games. So,
yeah,
and he's right. Yeah, we did play like 24 innings in three games. Fortunately, I mean, you know, we held our own. We lost one out of, you know, I think we went 4-1 in extra innings. So we were able to play. We played good ball under pressure situations. And we were able to get out of jams and then end up pulling out some of those games.
Yeah. And the good news is, like, during that 10 inning game, you're like, oh, geez, oh, I'm emptying the tank. Everybody, because I know they can't come back the next day anyway, because they're going over 20 pitches anyway. So they're out.
Yeah.
But you had your ace sitting there waiting for Saturday. So you knew that was a good deal.
Yeah. We felt good if we could get there, because we knew Swampson. I'd seen Swampson, too, you know, in the other two games, and they were very good. And and again, I mean, they had a ton of scoring chances. I mean, we got out of pressure situations, made some really big plays, but we were also very fortunate. And I should correct. I think I called it's Drukhausen who really came in really gave us a lift, because he hadn't pitched much in the tournament. You know, like I said, two innings prior, gave up that home run, and that was it. And he came in three innings and shut the door down for us. So he was.
Wow.
It was really a big side of that game, along with Teddy Blake's two home runs, because we only had, I want to say, we might have only had three hits in that game, and Teddy got two of them and one
home. That was all that you needed, those three runs.
Yep.
And
it came at a good time.
The closer coming in he ends up getting the win because of his three. It's kind of like reminds me of like a Tim Wakefield 2004 against the Yankees. He had huge three innings, right? Long Red Sox ALCS games, but he comes in the eighth, ninth, and tenth, and just shuts the door,
and he can eat innings for you too. So that was used by Drew. I was really happy for him.
Yeah, what was the message to the kids, Stan? Because you know the kids, as much as you know, they can look back and see these great accomplishments and all the things they did in the tournament. They want to move on. You know, they want to go on. What was the message to them in the breakup party?
It was all good. I mean, everything was great. I mean, just the point, you know, we said to them, just to get to this point, what an achievement to get to this point. Not many teams ever get here. And you guys got to the, you know, sectional final game. So nothing to be ashamed of. We practice every day for, over a month. No kids missed any practice time. I mean, it was just a total commitment by the kids to themselves and to their teammates and to the coaching staff. So, I mean, they were terrific. And you're right. You know, they'll bounce right back and they'll get into a hoop camp now. Football starts next month, and they move on. So, but they'll always have the memories. That's the thing. I spoke highly to them about. Is this something you'll always remember? I mean. We brought back two kids from our 2018 team that practice every day with us, with Nick Robinson and Mike Jr. So they came to every practice and worked with these kids, and they were talking about the memories that they still recall from that 2018 team. And I think these kids are going to have all those similar memories that they'll carry on.
Yeah, that's really special. Those two kids, were they just graduated high school?
Yes. Yeah. They just graduated this year.
Yeah, that is something special for those kids to come back like that and, impart their wisdom. And, very cool. Danvers, you know, do they still have, they don't still have that, what was it called, the Gallant tournament? They don't still have that, do they?
They don't have the Gallant tournament. Danvers holds the Stan Brown tournament.
Ah, okay.
So that's going on right now. They've got, I think, over 30 teams. And, but that's all like seven-year-olds, 8, 9, 10, 11, up to the 12-year-old.
Oh,
and that's like the wrap up last tournament, that wraps up. So they're holding that right now down at Tapley Park. And that's what's going on now.
Yeah. Who gets into that? Like for the Danvers 12s, is that like a combination of Americans Nationals or is it separate?
Yeah, sometimes it's a combination of the two teams. This year we have six or seven of the kids on our team that are going to Cooperstown to play, in an AAU tournament. So they, so the six or seven are going. So they've actually combined the 11-year-old and the 12-year-olds, and they're gonna form a 12-year-old team. So that's what they're doing this year.
Yeah, and is that all in Danvers, the Stan Brown tournament?
It's all in Danvers. Yeah,
wow, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, a lot of work. Yeah, it certainly is. And they're always looking for volunteers. So we're down there trying to help out. But yes, it's a lot of work.
All right. Well, Stan Disswalby, it's been a great two conversations with you. One about the sectionals and going up to it, and then a recap. And my goodness, what great baseball that was played. Fans were in for a treat at Harry Ball Field those 4 days. Very memorable experiences. And, you know, these kids will be competitors, you know, mostly Northeastern Conference, hopefully competitors, you know, down the road. So best of luck to them. Best of luck to you guys, Danvers Nats, lead eight entrant, and nothing to be ashamed of there for sure. Thanks a lot, Coach.
Oh, Dom, I appreciate it once again for everything you do for Little League at this time of year. And I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah. Such a fun thing. And go get some rest. I know you guys need it.
Thanks, Dom. Have a great night.
Have a great night, Stan.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
I'm Mary Ann Smith, president of the Cape Ann Savings Bank. We are proud to sponsor the Cape Ann Savings Bank Student Athlete of the Year. Whether it's football, field hockey, tennis, soccer, or any other sport, when a student athlete strives for excellence, it inspires the whole community. The team at Cape Ann Savings Bank in Gloucester, Rockport, and Manchester-by-the-Sea always give their best, and we're happy to honor the student athletes and good sports who do too.
Cape Ann Savings Bank, member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender.
This is Peter Nicolakopoulos, owner of Pomodori Roast Beef and Pizzeria. Come check out our newest location, Pomodori's in Newburyport at 192 State Street. We have a beautiful restaurant with excellent pizzas, tender roast beef sandwiches, fried haddock and clams, and the best calzones around. We also offer catering for lunch and dinner events. Pomodori has a long history of supporting the local community. Visit our newest Pomodori's in Newburyport. Details at PomodoriPizzeria.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
This is Bob Montgomery, and when hunger calls, North Shore residents must pay a visit to the New Brothers Deli in downtown Danvers. They're open daily for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. They have everything from eggs to meat to fish, and it's all made from scratch with the finest fresh ingredients. New Brothers Deli has specials that are sure to fill you up and satisfy. Kenny and Carrie invite you to visit the New Brothers Restaurant and Deli at 31 Maple Street in the middle of downtown Danvers. Call 978-750-0100 for more information.
All right, that was our guest portion of the show. Will Jones, Stan Disswalby back-to-back interviews from last week and this week, and man, he is great to catch up with. Stan, what a committed advocate for young boys and girls, Little League, true passion, been around for decades, and doesn't even have any kids in the program, but is still the manager of that Danvers Nats All-Star game and ambassador for the league and the kids. And I loved catching up with him. I really did. And my goodness, was that a tournament? One of the best played tournaments you will see. Danvers Nationals, Beverly Swamps by Acton Boxborough. Acton Boxborough comes out on top in the Final Four for Massachusetts Little League with the right to go on to the regionals where they'll face other state champions. So we'll see what happens. But just my takeaways from that, man, they, you know, Danvers were 24 innings in three games and then another six to close it. So 30 innings, four straight days. You know, that's like high school plus, like seven. It's an average of 7 innings a game, extra innings, multiple extra inning games. They ended up going 4-1 in extras, that team. What a great team. But they all played well. All the North Shore teams represented so well, including host Beverly. Swampscott, back-to-back District 16 champs. All of them, nothing to be ashamed of, finishing in the Sweet 16. And if you're Danvers Nats, you wake up the day after the loss, still knowing that you were one of eight left in Massachusetts. Not bad at all. You know, the kids want to go further, but in time, they'll realize how great they were.
But yeah, the shutdown defense of Danvers, like 7, 8, and 9 innings against Swampscott in that semi, what ended up being a semifinal game, was just unbelievable. I mean, wow. Bases loaded, no outs, and you're facing elimination, and you get out of that, and then you win it a couple innings later. I don't know if I've heard something like that before. I mean, that is, all the math is pointing against you in that one, and they defied every single odd. Great stuff. So I'm so happy we closed out Little League like that. I know there's that Stan Brown tournament. There's Jimmy Fund Baseball, so if you have a chance to go around the North Shore and catch a Jimmy Fund League game, that's totally a fundraising league. You know, the point is to raise money. I did it for Swampscott many years. And kids get a chance to play baseball, but also bring awareness to the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, raise money for that, develop research and development treatment, especially for young children. There's always like a sponsor, like one kid that stands out for the summer, you know, like Timmy or something, right, that has cancer. In Swampscott, we get with the kids together before the Jimmy Fund even started. And all right, guys, sit down. First things first, this is what this tournament's about. It's about raising money for kids, families that are, you know, devastated by this terrible disease. And they had a spotlight on one of the kids who each summer, you know, he kind of played for that kid. And we would say Timmy at the end of every game or practice, just to remember why we were there. A lot of fun. So let's take a break. And we're just going to, you know, open segment to close things out. North Shore Summer Report. Talk about Will Jones and what some of his teammates at Northeastern are doing. That's what I'm going to focus on. And if anything pops up, we'll see. Stay with us.
This is Peter Nicolakopoulos, owner of Pomodori Roast Beef and Pizzeria. Come check out our newest location, Pomodori's in Newburyport at 192 State Street. We have a beautiful restaurant with excellent pizzas, tender roast beef sandwiches, fried haddock and clams, and the best calzones around. We also offer catering for lunch and dinner events. Pomodori has a long history of supporting the local community. Visit our newest Pomodori's in Newburyport. Details at PomodoriPizzeria.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning on remodeling your kitchen or just thinking about it, may I suggest that you visit our kitchen cabinet showroom in downtown Beverly. There you will find some 25 kitchens on display, just as they might look in your own home. And you can also talk with our kitchen cabinet sales team, who really do know what they are talking about. That's at Moynihan Lumber, 82 River Street in downtown Beverly.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Looking for the best place on the North Shore to gather with friends after work, on the weekend, or catch a game? Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. Enjoy daily specials, mouth-watering appetizers, and delicious entrees. There is something for everyone at the Sylvan Street Grill. Come check out the newly expanded bar in Peabody with 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games.
Sylvan Street Grill. All right, Dominic Castro back at it for our final segment, North Shore Summer Sports Report. I thought we'd dive into some of those Northeastern kids that play with Will Jones and get a little information on them. Because let's start, some of them are doing really well. Avon Cabral, he was that St. Mary standout. I covered him. He won a state title for St. Mary, maybe a couple. But he was amazing. He's a sophomore last spring for Northeastern University. Let's look at his awards. NCBWA Freshman All-American 2023. ABCA Rawlings All-Region Northeast First Team 2023. There's so many. Keats League All-Rookie Team 2023. All-League First Team. I think he's a sophomore coming up, actually. He's a freshman. Let's see. 2023? Yeah, so he must have been a sophomore this year. Anyway. 2024, this past spring, made 7 starts, 16 total appearances, 42 innings, 2-4 record, 2 saves, 5 scoreless relief appearances. Must have been a closer for them. 18 pitching appearances as freshman year, 2023, 15 starts as a rookie, team best and conference best, 2.26 ERA. Struck out 68, walked 12, threw a complete game shutout against Delaware. Career high 8 punchouts twice against South Florida and Hartford. 9-4 record, most wins in the league in 2023. Freshman All-American. Woo! MVP for St. Mary's, 4 years. Globe, Herald, All-Scholastic, All-Star, Pitcher of the Year. Played for the Nashua Silver Knights. 10 appearances on the mound, including playoff appearances. For them, 6-inning, 12-strikeout performance against New Britain in the playoffs. Wow. So he's stepped it up. North Shore representing Northeastern. They have a nice little baseball stadium there, too. It's really cool. Let's move on down and see what else is going on North Shore-wise. We got some Merrimack Valley kids there, too, but that's for the other show. Let's see what's happening in the world of Peabody's own Tyler McGregor. Tyler McGregor was a grad student, went to St. John's Prep from Peabody. Oh, my goodness. He's amazing. 8-time program record holder. Career batting average, 370. Career slugging, 711. Single season batting average, 402. Single season slugging, single season hits, single season RBIs, single season doubles, single season total bases. League player, the co-player of the year in 2024, all league first team, 2024, all league second team, 2023, all Ivy League honorable mention. I don't know what that's all about. What, he was at an Ivy League he started? I don't know. Or is Northeastern? No, yeah. He must have been to transfer. Okay. First Husky in program history to finish a season batting over 400 with minimum 125 plate appearances. He must have been 400 in the regular season and dipped a little bit. Oh, no, that's a season. And then his career was 370. Amazing. 4-for-4 with 3 home runs against UConn, who UConn went and did great things in the finals. This is amazing. Oh, we played at Columbia. There we go. 332 with 3 home runs and 39 RBI in final season with Columbia. 3 seasons with the Lions, hit 329, 56 appearances, 41 RBI, 43 runs scored. And then he came over to Northeastern after. Wow. Amazing. I got to get Tyler McGregor on. We're going to get all the Northeastern kids on from the North Shore. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Lefty hitter. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Look at him. All right. And then we'll move our way down here and get Cooper McGrath, who we talked about with Will Jones a little bit. Cooper McGrath was a fearsome pitcher. Cooper McGrath made 16 appearances in 2024 for the Huskies in his first season on the team. 2.63 ERA, 27 innings, 3-0 mark. Season high 4 strikeouts at Delaware. Struck out 24 batters in the year and walked 13. Played for Trinity, private school before that. Grandfather played ice hockey at Harvard. Uncle Douglas wrote movies and a play on Broadway. Enjoys traveling and fishing. Great job for him. Cooper McGrath. What else you got for us, Northeastern? You got any other baseball players from the North Shore? My goodness, they have a impressive roster of North Shore athletes. I love it. Cooper, Will Jones, and that should do it. That's awesome. So awesome. Love it. Absolutely love it. All right, well, that does it for the show. Thank you for tuning in, listening to our guests, our sponsors. Exciting stuff about the Cape Ann Savings Bank. We're in planning mode for our Athletes of the Year interviews. So we'll announce that soon enough and let you know. We'll have live videos. That's the plan usually. So we'll see what happens. I know there's no Sidewalk Bazaar anymore, so we're kind of winging it. But we're looking forward to that. Thank you to the bank. Thank you, Morning Hand Lumber, and all our other sponsors. Love you. Thanks for tuning in to the North Shore Sports Desk. See you next week.